Podcasting live at the time we recorded it. From the studios in downtown Gulfport, Florida, it's WGAB, The Gabcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to WGAB, The Gabcast, a Gabber newspaper production. I'm Patrick Heinzen, the news and pop reporter, and I'm sitting here with...
Kathy Celestri Loper, co-owner, editor-in-chief for now, publisher of The Gabber newspaper. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing all right.
Hanging in there?
Hanging in there. Doing good. Excited for council tonight.
Yeah, Godspeed. You know, there, but for the grace of God, go I. So it's been like, live every day like it's a full moon politically in this area lately. So we get through elections, which were...
Barely.
Is the technical term fucked up? Is that... What?
Sure.
What would you call it? How would you
I think the biggest way that people have described it, and I kind of agree, was ugly. It was just ugly everywhere.
Ugly makes it sound like somebody's just got, you know, like a wart somewhere they shouldn't, though. Okay. Agree
to disagree.
I feel like it works.
Fine.
It was effed up.
Well, yeah, but I think that's something that we've seen in some, not just in Gulfport, but like even before when the St. Pete Beach elections were starting and there was issues with interim commissioners.
I mean,
and
okay, but...
Across, like you said, it's been... Rough seas politically in the area recently.
And then we have the one election that we covered that didn't seem to have any drama. Kansas City.
Yeah. No drama during the election.
No drama during the election. They show up for the first meeting and the new mayor's like, guess what, town manager? Fired.
Yep.
And she, I guess, is suing now or suggesting she might
well,
sue?
Well, no. So she turned... So... Prior to the meeting, her legal counsel sent in a letter that was saying that it kind of laid out terms for a termination without cause, and she would have 20 weeks of severance, and it included that she would not sue or pursue any litigation or anything. But the counsel decided to terminate her with cause and cited, first of all, her not telling the truth. And also talked about her disregard for counsel and misconduct, kind of. So
I think the phrase is hostile work environment.
Yes, yeah, they used that.
Pretty clear that people were, what, quitting because of her?
Yeah, so...
Or at least that's what people said they were quitting for.
And a couple of staff members submitted their resignation letter and cited her as one of the reasons why.
We ran an article about...
We did.
Was it the city clerk or the deputy clerk? Or the former deputy clerk?
I think it was the deputy town clerk.
And so here's what's so weird about that, is that when you talk about a town charter, typically the charter officers don't report to each other, right? You've got the manager, the attorney, and the clerk, and they're all separate people. There is no situation where the town manager or a city manager should be interfering at all with the clerk's job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't just a hostile work environment. It just seemed like there were... potential charter violations. It seems like
we've covered Kansas City pretty extensively recently, and Sebastian, who wrote the article that we're talking about now that is in this week's Gabber, he's been covering their town council meetings and issues with the council for a couple months now. It's definitely been interesting. There's been a lot going on. I'm glad I didn't have to cover Kansas City at the same time I was covering Gulfport elections, because that would have been a lot.
One city at a time.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm really, and I don't want to pour Gatorade all over us, you know, but I'm really pleased with how we've been covering these things, mm-hmm. because these are small cities and towns, but they're big issues for the people who live there. And, mm-hmm. you know, I talk a lot to other people. You have heard this before. It's probably new to them. We'll say it again to them. You know, as the daily paper of record, it seems to be, I think the kind word is streamlining its newsroom with a county. You know, they cover several counties, and of which we are one in Pinellas, mm-hmm. and we have 24 municipalities and the unincorporated area. They don't have the reporters to cover these smaller cities and towns, and so we have no choice really as a newspaper to try and serve the residents better. And I certainly don't want to feel good about anybody losing their job, but I do think some of Sebastian's reporting on some of the issues shed light on some things
that definitely are
impacting the course of Kansas City, and that's okay.
I think that one of the things that he wrote about often throughout this whole process was how there's been these issues that led up to this moment. Like, this isn't, like you said, pretty much the right after the new mayor was sworn in, they jumped into, you know what, we're going to, that was the first item of business was trying to terminate her.
Do you know where I've seen that happen once before?
Where?
St. Pete Beach.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
With?
Former city manager Mike Bonfield and, I can't remember her name because she didn't stick around very long, but she got elected, showed up, sworn in, make a motion to fire city manager Bonfield. And that time I saw a city commissioner, Jim Parent.
Mm-hmm.
He quit.
Oh, wow.
He was like, basically he said, I know something's happening behind the scenes.
Wow.
And I don't want to be a part of this anymore. But I don't think that was the case with, maybe it was, but I didn't get that sense at Kansas City.
I don't think so. I feel like this, so many of the council members were kind of hesitant. One of the reasons is, like you said, there's the threat of litigation. And the former mayor actually sent in a letter. He wasn't able to make it, but he sent in a letter and talked about the now fired town clerk, Lacey Lefebvre, and her record.
She's not
of,
the clerk.
She was
manager.
Town manager. And her record of good work. He talked about how she was good financially for the city. And he praised her work. And a lot of the other council members said that she's been good and they don't want to see that change. But some of the community members weren't so sure. And along with that, one of the biggest things that the new mayor, Megan Zimaitis, she brought up was lying. And she brought up in Lefebvre's cover letter, she spoke about having a bachelor's degree from Northern Michigan University. And
which she did, right?
She did have a bachelor's degree. And she said that she was working on a master's in public administration. But they reached out to the university and they said that her last day of attendance was in 2021. This cover letter, I believe she was hired in 2023. So they brought up they said that was a lie. And they brought that up and talked about that as part of one of the reasons.
Well, that's legally what gives them cause.
Yes.
Right. That's something that probably in and of itself would not be enough to get fired over.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would bet anything, and this is some real armchair quarterback, right? That is the one thing they can point to and say falsification of a job application.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so hostile work environment, usually very hard to prove. But you know, they didn't want to give her a severance package. And more importantly, for other cities moving forward who look at hiring this woman, this is now something that's in the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you search her name, our coverage is going to come up and that'll be there. You know, it's something that, you know, they're trying to protect themselves, but they're also safeguarding future cities and towns
yeah.
from dealing with this, which is such a silly lie.
They're going to have a mini trial to look over the evidence and make sure that everything is okay, because there still is that threat of litigation. They did not accept the terms that she presented in her letter, and they terminated her with cause instead of without cause. So there's still that, but she thanked the community for allowing her to do her job. She said she was proud of her work, and she's ready to move on. And she said something about being ready for the mini trial and ready for that to happen so that she can present herself. But at this point, she's just thankful to the community and proud of her work. So,
well, I mean, the nice thing about this podcast is that we can talk about what happened in the news, but we can also talk about the stuff we don't put in the news. And
mm-hmm.
that was that she was kind of a jerk to Sebastian. She told him how to write the stories. She, you know, she came around, but you know, if you're going to be a jerk to a reporter, how are you going to treat other people is what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then we should probably let it go there and move on to
something that you wrote about this week, something that you're
happy things.
Very passionate about as a
I
Disney adult.
Say I wasn't very passionate. I'm not a Disney adult. I am somebody who goes to Walt Disney World. You're trying to paint me with this Mickey Mouse colored paintbrush. And
you walked in here like a month ago with a bag full of Mickey hats.
To mail to other people because they were given to me and I didn't want them. And they are called mini ear headbands. You have to be careful with the Disney community because they're rabid. And if you say Mickey hats, they're going to go, wait, made with real Mickey? and they'll get upset. PETA gets involved. We can't do that.
Well, if you're excited to hear more from a Disney adult herself about Beauty and the Beast.
I am making an obscene gesture at you in my head.
We'll be right back with WGAB The Gabcast.
Find all your Gulfport and Tampa Bay beaches news and things to do at thegabber.com.
Welcome back to WGAB The Gabcast, a Gabber newspaper production. We're back with...
Cameron! Hey, guys.
And what are we going to be talking about,
Cam? We're going to be talking about Kathy's addiction to Disney World. So... So she, fortunately enough, got to go see Beauty and the Beast in the park. American Stage was having a production of that. What is it? How's it called? Demons?
Damon's Landing.
Demons.
Well, Demons, actually. Demons. Peter Demons.
There's so many ways, but it's not the evil one. It's Demons.
It's a shortening of Peter Demons something, who was Russian, who helped found St. Petersburg, which is why it's called St. Petersburg after Russia.
Wow.
He's got a landing. It's where the boats are. And every year it's where American Stage has American Stage in the park.
So Kathy lovingly wanted to go see Beauty and the Beast in the park.
But let me tell you why.
Go ahead. Yeah. Why not? It was your story.
A million years ago.
Whoa. She was there.
Before any of you losers were born. American Stage in the Park was always Shakespeare, and they always did it super cool. It was called Shakespeare in the Park, and like one year they did Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, but they set it in New Orleans, so it was like all jazz and
ooh,
voodoo.
That sounds
it was
cool.
Awesome.
I like that.
And then they stopped doing American Stage Shakespeare in the Park because apparently that was too hard for some people, even though it was amazing, and they started doing all these really popular shows in the park. And so I've always liked park because you go, you bring a picnic. You spread out a blanket, you bring, you know, some bottle of wine, some cheese, whatever, and you sit there and you watch the show, even though I don't think that's legal. I don't think they let you bring wine in, but we always did.
Yeah, like who's going to really stop you if it's in a water bottle?
But they don't think they care anymore. Anyway, so the point is, it's always been super fun to go into the park and watch the show. And then this year, they announced Beauty and the Beast, and that not Beauty and the Beast, Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
So you were like,
that's what hooked her.
Oh my God. Yeah. So like, why don't you just shut your pie hole for a minute and let me talk? So when I went to college out in Orlando, I had a part-time job at the Disney MGM Studios. And I was a walking tour guide, but they would also send you to do other things throughout the park. And one of the things I had to do regularly was the stage show Beauty and the Beast, like crowd control.
Oh,
so
cool.
I watched the show over and over, and I knew it by heart. And I'm like, oh, this will be really cool. Because they're good songs. It's good music. It's happy.
Yeah,
you're like,
I love
like
that
so
movie.
When they did Hair in the Park, it was exhausting. It was not that it was poorly done. It was just, it's a lot. You know, some of their park shows. No, I mean, it's a good show, but it's like, I want to go and be happy. I want to go see something.
No, I was just.
What are you two doing?
Emoting. I was letting everybody know what I. Ooh,
your
it stinks.
Hand is behind the computer.
No, it's right
you're
here.
Going like this.
Nicole can see me.
Thank God, most people are just listening to this. So I was excited because it's good music, but also because I like the original art film La Belle and la Bête, which is Beauty and the Beast. It was French, 1946. Beautiful. It's where they got the idea of Lumiere. Disney relied heavily on that for the musical, the show, all the stuff. And it was fun. So Barry and I went. We had some snackies and we had some sippies, and it was a nice show. Park is something I look forward to every year.
And how was the performance from the actors?
So it was great. So here's the thing, and this is going to sound like I'm underplaying this. It's a good musical. I mean, it's just, the songs are really well written. Tim Rice, I mean, all the people who worked on the songs, the book is good. You have to work to screw it up. And they didn't. I don't mean to undersell American Stage. They do good things. But
their costumes looked amazing.
I mean, they're just all
those
beautiful.
Those are crazy.
Just beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was a good show. I think it's still running for a while. So it's definitely worth going to see. And
how much was it?
I don't know. I didn't pay.
I have it written down.
I mean, we had review tickets. Yeah, it's like 30 something, maybe.
I forgot you get Kathy.
It's about $35 to $45. By the way,
it's not bad. And also, if you ever wanted to review a show, you wouldn't have to pay for it either.
True.
Okay. So just it's not a perk. It's your job. You have to do the job. No one makes you pay to go to city council. You get it free.
Everybody gets in free.
No, but he's getting paid to go, though.
Right. I did not get paid to go. I did it. It was a labor of love.
You did it as, like, volunteer?
I reinvested my stipend back into the company. That's how we're paying our producer this week.
Woo.
Welcome.
Woo, woo, woo.
All right.
But
so good show.
Beauty and the Beast.
You can read that review online at thegabber.com.
It was outside theater. Very great. Kathy loved it. She was fangirling the whole time. So if you want to be just like Kathy, you can still go. It's showing until May 5th.
Oh, running.
So, sorry.
Running through May 5th.
Running through May 5th. You can watch it Wednesdays through Sundays at 7:30 p.m. And then they have a pet night. Oh, did this already happen? No, it already did. Sorry, guys. It already happened. It was April 14th.
Just kidding.
So
it hasn't happened, though.
Pride night.
Pride night.
Whoop, whoop. So, Pride night is April 21st.
Sunday?
I think that's a Sunday. Yes, a Sunday. So, definitely get your tickets, set up your blankets and chairs, and get your boxed wine.
I think you can bring bottles.
Bottled wine. Legally? I don't know.
Check on that, or don't tell people we told you to do that.
Were dogs allowed there?
No, that's why they have the pet night.
Oh, okay.
They let kids in any time, though.
Same thing.
Not really.
Put those things on a leash. Muzzle them.
We can't go with dogs.
So, not getting sponsored by the American family, whatever. But anyway.
So, like I said, we got to hear from Kathy about Beauty and the Beast.
Her obsession.
Her obsession, her lovely, you know, hobby.
And now we're going to talk about my obsession.
Yes, you have an absurd desire for spiciness.
I do love spice.
So,
I want to take that moment to give a quick shout out to the Red Hot Tiki Hot Sauce shop right here.
Yep.
I go in there almost every day.
It's actually, I don't even know how his bank account allows it at this
Bro,
point.
Bro, hot sauce is cheap.
Still, it's cheap. Every day, dog.
I like hot sauce, but
how many bottles of hot sauce do you own?
You haven't gone through all
right
of them.
Right now, I have about 20 bottles of hot sauce.
Finish them.
I have probably 6 or 7 different like spicy rubs.
Do you cook?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever been to the Tabasco McKelney Island, the Louisiana? You can go visit. You can do a cooking with hot sauce tour with them.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I've been to Louisiana, but
well, that'd be so cool. Yeah.
He just isn't invested as some
he would
of us,
probably he'd probably fangirl just as much as Kathy does with Disney. He'd be like, oh my God, spicy rubs.
So I'm going to go.
Where are you going?
I'm just going to leave.
We're
so
in
you
the middle
talk.
Of podcast.
No, you showed up in the middle.
Kathy.
Just talk about your damn hot sauce. Please, you don't need me, but let's go.
So, no, hold her arms back.
So I went to the 17th annual Pepper Fest out here in Pinellas Park. It was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I missed. They had like a competition where they ate spicy peppers.
Mm-hmm.
Saw who could eat the most, I guess. I'm not 100% sure I missed it.
Why didn't you take part in it?
Well, I missed it.
I think you went on a
different
day.
Oh, you didn't miss it on purpose. You just weren't there. You would have, though.
Probably. I've eaten some real spicy stuff. Kathy got me a little gummy bear that put me out of commission for like 30 minutes for my birthday. So thank you, Kathy.
He has the best gifts at this paper.
So yeah.
So was it worth going to?
Absolutely. Yeah. They had everything. Mm-hmm. They had spicy, obviously hot sauce, rub, jerky, all that. But they had like spicy jam, teriyaki. One of the places, it's I believe it's pronounced Suyum Foods. They do a yellow papaya, maybe green papaya. I'm not on.
You said green in the article.
Then it's green papaya. They do a green papaya hot sauce that's like delicious. But I've also, I don't remember where I got it, but I had their heat stroke sauce. Mm-hmm. And that was like, I drank like 2 bottles of water after that. It was just killing me. But I bought it because it was very good. And their jerk rub was also amazing. But I walked around, saw some vendors, got some beef jerky. I got a rub from Old Saratoga Spice Rubs, and the guy, he smokes salt, and so he made a garlic salt pepper mix, but it was garlic, smoked salt, and then a 5 pepper blend of like different spices, and it's so
that
good. I put
crazy.
It on some fish the other night. Amazing. Very good. And I got to meet one of my favorite hot sauces is Carlos Consuming Fire Carlos Consuming Fire Mango Habanero Sauce. I've had that for a little while. Don't remember where I got it. It's one of my favorite hot sauces, and I got to meet him. I talked to him. I told him, I've had your hot sauce for a while, and I love it. And
did you fangirl over the hot sauce?
Yes. Did you get an autograph? I did. I didn't get an autograph, but like, I used to hate spicy food, and now I put spice on everything. I love everything spicy.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like an alternate universe.
It's very weird. I really did not like spicy food for the longest time. But Pepperfest was really cool. They had like pickled peppers you could get. There was a Verizon booth if you need cell service.
Mm-hmm. Which has what to do with spice?
Spice up
somebody
your
who needs
cell
to
service.
Tell everybody else about the spiciness.
Yeah.
So people watching this either went or they missed it. So how can they get some of these? I guess how can they get a little pepper in their life?
Well, on Facebook, they have the list of all the vendors at Pinellas Pepper Fest on Facebook. They have all the vendors that were there, photos, links to their website, so you mm-hmm. can go and get whatever hot sauce you want. That's the best way, probably. Unfortunately, you won't be able to taste them like I was able to. But you can wait till next year for the 18th annual Pepper Fest out here in Pinellas Park, and that'll be fun. Everybody there, when I walked up to a booth and they had like different spice rubs, I was pretty much being like force-fed them. Like, he wouldn't let me stop tasting them. They wanted me to just keep. I didn't complain. I enjoyed it, but like he kept saying like, "Oh, try this, try this, try this." And yeah. I was like, "Okay, cool." Like, they weren't stingy with the samples at all. They would give you
that's great
many samples as you wanted to try all the sauce and all the rubs, and it was very, very good. I recommend anybody who likes anything spicy to go next year. They had some live music that was good, and pets were there, food trucks were there, some closer to Gulfport. There was Los Homies, they had a food truck there.
Nice. Great, that was in the paper a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that was in the paper a couple weeks ago. And just some local places. I had some jerk chicken that was really good. I don't remember the name of the business, but I got some very good jerk chicken and yellow rice.
Fantastic.
That was delicious. Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Spice on.
Yeah, spice on.
Get your spiciness on.
Thank you so much for listening to WGAB The Gabcast, a Gabber newspaper production, and we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.